Speak the Word Ministry wants to see God's Word reshape your reality. Join Pastor Joanne Ramsey on her television program, Make the Word Alive, now airing on the Christian Television Network. Embark on a journey of personal growth and spiritual renewal as Pastor Joe talks with special guests and delivers special messages that will help you better understand God's Word. Don't miss the Make the Word Alive TV program with Pastor Joanne Ramsey, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on CTN, the Christian Television Network.
The following program is brought to you by Speak the Word Ministries.
You know, the power is in the name of Jesus. The power is in His Word, brothers and sisters. That is where your power is. Jesus is the Word.
Speak the Word.
Welcome to Speak the Word with author, Bible teacher, and evangelist, Pastor Joanne Ramsey. Speak the Word Ministries is called to train up God's children to be soldiers of Jesus Christ.
Speak the Word.
We invite you to visit us online at speakthewordministry.net. That's speakthewordministry.net. And now, here's Pastor Joe with a message titled, A Glimpse into Heaven.
Speak the Word.
You know, friends, there's so much negative stuff being taught and prophesied in the world today. But I believe that the Lord will have us to focus on the things above. According to Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 1 in the New Living Translation, it says, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. It says in verse 2, think, and I capitalized that, think about the things of heaven and not on the things of the earth. In verse 3, it says, for you died. You and I, brothers and sisters, have died. We have died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. In verse 4, it says, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. And I think that's really awesome. And I'm going to start today, and I'd like for you, if you have your Bibles, to open them up. And we're going to start today with the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 2-3. And I'm going to read this from the Voice Translation. It says that Jesus told His disciples in verse 1, don't get lost in despair. Believe in God and keep on believing in Me. In verse 2, it says, My Father's home is designed to accommodate all of you. If there were not room for everyone, I would have told you that. He said that Jesus said, I'm going to make arrangements for your travel. And He says, I will be there. Jesus said that He's going to be there to greet us personally. Think about that. And welcome you home where we'll all be together. In the New King James says, let not your heart be troubled. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And then Jesus tells us in verse 18, He said, I will never, and I capitalize never, He said, I will never abandon you like orphans. He said, I will return. And friends, He is going to return. We don't know when, not even Jesus knows when He's going to come back. God said that only God knows that when Jesus is coming back. But Jesus promised, He said, I will, and I capitalized all of that and made it in large letters. He said, I will return, He says, to be with you. Praise God. Friends, here's how He described heaven. Jesus described heaven as a house with many rooms, which implies unlimited space and permanences. In other words, with the place that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, it's going to be a nice place, because only Jesus knows what we really like and the type of things that we're looking for. So Jesus said He's gone to prepare a place for us. And it's not going to be any unlimited space in it. It's going to be really spacious, and it's going to be something that He knows that we like. We know that God knows everything, and we know it's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they all know everything. And Jesus lives in us, and He knows what we like and what we don't like. And even though Jesus didn't give them details about heaven or its specific location, He was assuring His disciples, and of course you and me, that wherever He was, we would be there with him. And that's really a shout in news today to know, especially with the things going on in the world today, that if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior and you are a believer, then when Jesus does come back, he's coming back for the ones that their names are listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name is listed in the Lamb's Book of Life, friends, you're going to get to go back with Jesus. But also, if for some reason you're not here when he comes back, maybe you've already made that transition out of your body. You know, your spirit has made that transition, because that's all it is. Our body is nothing but just a house, and our soul, and then our spirit. And so our spirit will make that transition, and it's going to go one place or the other. It's going to go into heaven, or it's going to go down below. So we want to make sure that our name's listed in the Lamb's Book of Life, so when Jesus does come back, that we're going to be able to go with him. And like I said, I really think that is some shouting news. I'd like to also point out that all who accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior are going to see heaven. That's what I was just saying, that you're going to be taken back with him. And if you happen to make that transition before Jesus comes back, the Bible tells us that the dead in Christ will rise first. So actually, if you've already made that transition, when Jesus comes back, you're going to come up first. And the Bible says, and then the ones that are still living when Jesus does come back. I would also like to point out that while we're here on this earth, in these earthly bodies, actually these earthly vessels, we have been given certain privileges and rights as children of God. You may not realize this, brothers and sisters, but as a spirit-filled child of God, you have been endued with power from on high. In other words, you have been filled with power. As a matter of fact, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you didn't get just a teaspoon of it at the time. He gave you the whole nine yards. So everything that we needed, we haven't learned how to use it all and activate all of it, but we do have it. And the way we learn to activate it is by getting into the Word of God and reading the Word, and the Holy Spirit will give us revelation of that Word, and then we'll know how to activate the power that's in us that Jesus has given us. And also I wanted to say, I know that we're all focused on heaven today, or at least I hope that the ones that are listening to this is focused on heaven. And hopefully all that are listening are truly heaven bound. But while we're on this earth, we will face trials, and we're going to face temptations and tribulations, because Jesus said that we would. But he also said he has overcome the world for us, according to John 16:33. And the Lord has equipped you with everything you need to overcome these temptations and get through the trials. You know, and that's really awesome, too, to know that whatever temptation that you might be experiencing today, or whatever trial you might be going through in your life today, we have to know that Jesus has already given us everything we need to get through that and become the overcomers that this Word says we are. As a matter of fact, he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, in the New King James Version, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." You know, and Peter talks about the trials too, and he talks about your inheritance in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. In verse 1 it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation." I'm going to say that again. Now, praise God, we live with great expectation. And verse 4 says, "And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven just for you and just for me, that is pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. It will not be destroyed." In other words, nothing can hurt it. In verse 5 it says, "And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." And verse 6, so be truly glad. He says, and I capitalized that, to be truly glad, be excited, be happy that there is a wonderful day ahead, even though you must endure many trials while you're here on this earth. Yes, friends, there will be many tests and going to be many trials, but I thank God, and you should too, that He knew this. He knew that we were going to experience trials and tribulations. He said we were. And we need to be thankful that our Father has equipped us to be overcomers and to be the one who gets the victory. We need to be the ones that's victorious, the ones that get the victory. We are not the ones to get defeated. He tells you in Romans 8:37 that we are more than overcomers, not just overcomers, but we're more than overcomers. And I want to say too, I'm reading a lot of scriptures today, and I usually read a lot of scriptures anyway in my messages, but I'm purposely reading a lot of scriptures today because I would like for you to write these scriptures down. Because a lot of people have questions. I have a lot of people ask me questions from time to time about heaven and about when Jesus is coming and what He's doing and all this stuff. And I don't have all the answers, but I can give you the scriptures and the answers that the Lord has given us in His Word. So that's why I'm doing my best to give you all lots and lots of scriptures today so that it will back up what I'm saying. I don't ever want to teach or preach God's Word without backing it up with His Word. I always want to do what the Holy Spirit is impressing upon me to say and to do, because I really rely heavily on the help of the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit's help, I really couldn't even stand up here and do what I'm doing today. But I'm so thankful that I don't have to be without Him, you know, because He says He'll never leave me nor forsake me, that He'll be with me and forever. You know, and we just need to keep in mind that we are soldiers. Friends, we are soldiers in God's army, and we're headed home, praise God. But I want to say this too, with all the stuff that's going on in the world today and around us, and yes, we are soldiers, but we really need to start standing, you know, making a stand for Jesus and what we believe in, and recognize and let other people see that we are soldiers of Christ, and not be ashamed of the fact that we are soldiers of Christ, but be thankful that God has chosen us to be His soldiers. You know, I recently read this story about this pastor that was afraid of dying. There's a lot of people out here today that might be afraid of dying, and it says, so he couldn't really minister to those who were facing that prospect. In other words, he couldn't really minister like he would like to a person maybe that said had a few days to live, or were, you know, in the hospital dying or whatever. He didn't really know, because of his fear of death, you know, he really couldn't minister to them the way he would like to. But you know, it says that eventually he moved from the area where he had lived and ministered for most of his adult life. And when all the furniture and boxes had been placed in the moving van, he said he lingered. They said he lingered in the home where his children had been born and where they had grown up, and where he had enjoyed many blessed hours of communion with the Lord. And it says, and just as they were finishing up, just as the movers were beginning to finish up, a close acquaintance, a friend of his who had been helping him with the packing, came and tapped him on the shoulder. And he said, Pastor, he said, come with us. He says, your new home is better than this one. And I capitalized all of that because it's so important for us to realize. Some of you listening today have probably been given a negative, not a good diagnosis. But I pray that whatever it is, that will be extended and your life will be extended. But when you and I, when we both go home, I want to go home healthy. You don't have to be sick to go home. I had somebody ask me one time, well, if you don't get sick, how are you going to go home? You can just lay down and go to sleep or whatever. You know, you don't have to be sick. As a matter of fact, you can get well and then go home, I think would be better. But he said, you know, your new home, and I want to say this to you too, your new home and my new home is better than the one we're living in now. Some of us live in bigger homes and nicer homes than others, but we all have a home, and a home is really, the definition for a home, as far as I can see, is where you bring your family up, no matter how small or how large it is. It's a place where you have your family. That's a place where you have your children. That's a place where you make memories and all of this. So it really is not important how large or where it's located. What's important here is that this is where you have your family, and this is where your friends come, and this is where you're happy. This is where you're making memories. The friend said, the friend didn't know it at the time that had told the pastor this. The friend didn't know it at the time, but he had preached a powerful sermon. Think about that. You know, brothers and sisters, we will all be taking that trip one day, all of us. And thank God there is a blessed home waiting on the children of God that is far better than anything, no matter where you live and how much money you've got or what it costs. When we go to heaven, the place that we're going to have is far better than anything down here. Heaven is a genuine place, and heaven is as real as this place that you are in today or that I'm in. I realize that a lot of people think that the Bible and the words are myth, but they're not myth. All these words were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and every one of them, they're not myths. God said His words have been settled in heaven. And it tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and He is the Word." You know, and it also says there that Jesus was made flesh and dwelt among us. And you know, I was thinking about that this morning as I was driving into work. I was thinking about how Jesus was made the Word and He dwelt among us. You know, there's a verse in Psalms where it says that He sent His Word and it healed us and removed all destructions from our body. You know, and I'm so thankful for that, because as I was driving, I was thinking, well, Lord, You said You sent Your Word and it healed me and removed all destruction from my body. So what You're really saying is You sent Jesus, because Jesus is with the Word. He is the Word. Because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're one. You know, so heaven is a glorious place, and never has there been a city described like this city. Paul had a hard time describing it. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he said, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." Praise God. There is no way, friends, that anyone can adequately describe this city in all its glory. People down here, I want you to listen to this, you know, because people in the world today, they're running after things. You know, they're running to get more power, get more money. They think if you get more money, you get more power. So they're running after the gold and running after the silver. But it says here, people down here on the earth, they're chasing after all those things. They're chasing after the gold, but it says in heaven, they walk on gold. You know, in heaven, we are actually, the Bible says, going to walk on streets of gold. Think about that. I'd like to mention three quick thoughts here. Number one, I'd like to mention it's His creation. And I'm talking about God's creation. This is a city built by God Himself. He created it. He formed it. And He's furnished it. When you get there and you get into your new place, you don't have to worry about going to a furniture store or doing anything. It's already going to be furnished. And you might think, well, how does He know how I want it? Well, He knows everything. There's nothing that He doesn't know about. Praise God. It is a city that bears the stamp of His power and His personality. He built it to reflect His glory, and it will be more glorious than the mind can comprehend. Think about that. And number two, I want to speak about its duration. You know, saints, all the cities everywhere, this earth, one day they're going to crumble and decay. But you know, every building made by the hand of man must constantly be renovated and repaired. But know this, but not heaven. It will never crumble, and it will never be decayed. Praise God. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, that's pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay." You know, think about this. As a matter of fact, I was down at my sister's home. She's in the process of repainting her home and doing the roof and doing the cabinets and all of that, because the places here on earth, the houses and the homes that we live in here today, they're constantly needing to be repaired and renovated and updated, you know, to keep it modern. But praise God, when we get to heaven, to that place that Jesus is up there preparing for us now, it's never going to need any of that. You know, it's just not any. And I think you ladies are really going to like this. It says it will never need paint, carpet, or even any more repairs. It's never going to need any more repairs. And ladies, you're not going to have to dust it, and you're not going to have to vacuum it. I think that's awesome. You know, because around, every time I look around my home town, it's like wherever there's a piece of land, they're building more condos, just building, 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 and just taking up all the space. But it says here that the place that Jesus has prepared for us, it will never be bulldozed to make room for a mall, because it will stand forever. Hallelujah. So there's nobody going to be there bulldozing the home down that Jesus has fixed for us. And number three, its size. According to Revelations 21, verse 15 through 21 in the New Living Bible, John said that the angels who talked to him held his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city. And he said its gates and its walls, when he measured it, he found it was a square as wide as it was long. In fact, he said its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. It says, and then John said he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standard used by the angel. You know, the wall of the city was built on foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. And I'm going to attempt to name them all. The first was jasper. The second was sapphire. The third was agate. The fourth was emerald. The fifth was onyx. And the sixth was carnelian. The seventh was chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz, and the tenth, chrysoprase, and the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. But he says the 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl, and the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. Try to get a vision today, if you will, friends. Try to get a vision of what your new home is going to look like, and then I don't think you're going to be as fearful about going to it. It says the 12 gates were made of pearls. In other words, it has 12 gates, and each one of those gates were made with a whole pearl. Jesus is saying that the gates of heaven are made of pearls, pure pearls, and each gate from a single pearl. And the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. In verse 22, John said, I saw no temple in the city. I want you to think about it. There was no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Think about that. And the city has no need. It doesn't need any sun. It doesn't need any moon. For the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. Praise God.
Speak the word to your body. Speak the word to
You've been listening to author, Bible teacher, and evangelist, Pastor Joanne Ramsey on today's edition of Speak the Word. Speak the Word is a listener-supported ministry. Generous contributions from listeners like you enable us to continue bringing you this program each day. Learn how you can connect and support Speak the Word Ministries on the web at speaktheWordMinistry.net. That's speaktheWordMinistry.net. Pastor Joe will be right back in just a moment. But first, we're excited to tell you about Pastor Joe's new book titled, I Believe God, It Will Be Just As He Said. Friends, there's nothing more important than what you believe in your heart about God. No matter what circumstances may look like for you today, you can boldly declare like the Apostle Paul did, I believe God, it will be just as He said. Remember that God wants us to believe and speak His word, and the answer is in the Word of God. Receive encouragement with Pastor Joanne Ramsey's new book, I Believe God. Just ask for a copy of I Believe God, It Will Be Just As He Said by Pastor Joanne Ramsey when you send a gift of any amount to Speak the Word Ministry. Here's how you can request your copy.
Our ministry telephone number is 855-505-2297. That's 855-505-2297. Or you can order the book by sending a contribution in the mail to Speak the Word Ministry, Box 9175, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23450. You can also email Pastor Joe directly. Pastor Joe, that's J-O, at speakthewordministry.net. Again, that's Pastor Joe at speakthewordministry.net. And now, here's Pastor Joe with a closing prayer.
Father, I praise you and I thank you. For according to your word, we're not of this earth. We're just strangers and sojourners passing by. Give us, O Lord, the wisdom to focus on the things above and not on all these things that are going on around us. There are so many things that are being taught and prophesied in the world today. But you have told us to focus on the things above since we've been raised to a new life with Christ, to set our sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor. Give us the grace and the courage, Lord, to not get lost in despair, but to continue to believe in you and keep on believing in you. Lord, you said, let not our heart be troubled, that you will never leave us or forsake us like orphans, and that you will return. And all who have accepted you, Lord Jesus, will see heaven. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
From Pastor Joe and all of us at Speak the Word Ministries, we're glad you've joined us today. Once again, thanks for listening. Join us next time on Speak the Word.
Speak the word to every circumstance. That mountain can't stand against the word of God. Against the word of God.
Speak the Word Ministry wants to see God's Word reshape your reality. Join Pastor Joanne Ramsey on her television program, Make the Word Alive, now airing on the Christian Television Network. Embark on a journey of personal growth and spiritual renewal as Pastor Joe talks with special guests and delivers special messages that will help you better understand God's Word. Don't miss the Make the Word Alive TV program with Pastor Joanne Ramsey, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on CTN, the Christian Television Network.